I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello there and welcome to Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on the 26th of February. It is the day after Celtic were victorious in dramatic fashion at Firth Park. They won the game 3-1 after coming from behind. Went behind the first half before equaliser from Adam Ida early in the second half, and it took until the 94th minute until Celtic got their second goal again through that man Adam Ida. And this was followed up by Lewis Palma scoring later than that in the 97th minute to make it 3-1 to the Celts. So, delighted to say I'm joined by Tony and Andy. Danny should be joining us later in the episode. Andy, I'll come to you because me and you have seen the full game. I know Tony was flying and Danny was at a christening, so they've only caught highlights and whatnot. But I'll come to you. It was the first half, especially yesterday, was pretty poor. And I think a lot of people feared the worst when we did go behind to that Blair Spittle goal just before half time. I think there's a few warning signs earlier, and obviously Motherwell had a goal disallowed the first few minutes as well, and were probably the better team in the first half. What was your thoughts on the game?
It really was sort of like game of two halves. When they get the early goal disallowed, I was hopeful that maybe that's a wee stroke of luck and that'll wake us up and sort of give us a bit of a shake, but it didn't at all. The entirety of the first half, Motherwell just the better team, there's no getting away with it, to be honest with you. That boy up front, Theo Bear, gave skills, gave Rocky a horrid time. He's running, his physicality, couldn't deal with it at all. Their goal was, fair play, Spittle that hit it. It was a great strike, but they well earned their lead. Better team than the first half. We were offering absolutely nothing. Again, wide men, would they take anybody on, would they go by anybody? Couldn't, was non-existent. That was just running about playing my head of things, but even the midfield, O'Reilly, largely anonymous. Fullbacks weren't really involved and sort of getting beyond the wide men and putting decent balls in the box. It was really probably one of the poorest I've seen us for 45 minutes, and that takes quite some doing this season because we've been fucking rotten. We're well deserved to the lead, and you really started to feel the worst at half time because there was no indication whatsoever that was going to change. There was no indication that we really had anything about us to go and sort of turn that around. And I suppose the only positive was that it was only 1-0 at half time. And football being the way it is, you can never be far away from an equaliser. And thankfully, obviously, Maja made a sub. And I said it to you in the chat, it seems as if, no, even just the way we play might necessarily no change as much, but when there's a mere physical presence at the top of the team just seems to have a different attitude. We just look a different side, we look more confident. The minute Ida came on, we just looked like a team that actually had a striker. and we're wanting to use them, and we're wanting to sort of get the ball into good areas, and right away it comes for a brilliant cross into the box for Taylor. Pinpoint sticks it into CT scores, and then that obviously gives us the confidence. I thought, again, we were definitely improved for then, but I thought the big change came when Jan came on and Carter Vickers. They obviously came on at the same time. I thought Carter Vickers just, you felt as if, right, we should concede again. But Yang, I thought, really changed it in terms of us going forward, constantly wanting on the ball, constantly wanting to take their full backs on, our defenders on, and just put the ball in the box. He was really trying to make something happen. It looked a much bigger threat. There was a few balls that came in for either Yang or then Johnston on the overlap of Yang. And there were a right good few chances created, a right good few opportunities in and around the area. And then again, that allowed for, like, my header probably could have had a hat trick if we're honest about it. I don't know how he's missed that header. That's the one that was probably about 6 yards. I don't know how he's missed that. It hit out any other fucking part of his body, and it's going to go out of the line. And then again, you've got the one that was pulled back probably just about the penalty spot. And he slides in, sticks out of the bar. These were all coming for the right-hand side. And as I say, a bit part of that, I felt, was Jack. We really did sort of turn around us as an attacking side going forward. Really then I started to become confident that we would get the goal. As I say, when you're starting to create so many chances, and they keep coming. But I would say, Yang was the turning point. And obviously, we bring on Bernardo, we bring on Palmer. Palmer's one that's really sort of divided opinion, I suppose. Similar to how Abad I did before, because he is putting numbers up for the field, like, across the season in terms of goals and assists, but his output and his performance on the pitch, if you watch it, isn't great at times. He's another winger that we've got that seems to be unable to take a player on, but, you know, he's got that goal threat in him, I suppose. I think he had a header at the back post as well that came in for the right side that probably was a bit behind him, so he had a bit to do with it and couldn't quite get the power that was needed to put it in the net. But again, it was another sort of two positive substitutions. And then, again, obviously the ball comes in for Ida. Great finish for Johnston. Again, it comes down the right-hand side. It was everything that we'd done was positive. Came for Yang and Johnston on the right. The ball ends, it's a great run. It's a great finish just to take it in his stride and just sort of put it in with the left. That's a brilliant finish for anybody. And then obviously we go and add to the goal difference. Again, coming for Yang and putting it in for Palmer. So I think it really was, as I say, it's a game of two halves. And We just looked positive. We looked probably the best I've seen us for 45 in the second half. I thought there was positive substitutions. I thought Yang, I said it to you, I think Yang was the biggest impact for me. I know he just scored two, that's in the headers, brilliant, as is the second goal, the one-touch finish. But I thought Yang really did change the game. The amount of chances that were created on the right-hand side, as I said, just all I felt really came for him. Obviously, you've got the goal, and then you've got the Palmer header. You've got the assist he gave for Palmer. You've got the 2-3 chances he created for Maida. I thought Yang difference for us. I thought he just created chance after chance, and he really sort of pinned their defender back down that side, and he looked fearful. And then I thought as well, it really changed how Johnston played. Johnston was much more involved in the game, wanting to get down the right-hand side, wanting to overlap, wanting to sort of play after Yang, and I thought you didn't really get that. We could, so I thought it was encouraging to see. You knew it's just about trying to sort of get that performance stretch out over 90 minutes and sort of stop having such different contrast in half. But I did entirely turned around, completely shite myself in the first half, and just thankful that we were only 2-3 down to really having a bit of belief in what I've seen in the second half, and that putting a bit of confidence in me then.
I think the first half probably couldn't have been much worse. As you said, it was probably for the best that we were only one down, because it did look a forlorn hope that we would turn it around. Obviously, as I said, that goal getting disallowed in the first couple of minutes sort of set the tone for the first half. I thought Scales was just so easily... First of all, it's just that I mentioned it against Hibs. It's just sort of one ball over the top, sort of exposed our defence, and then the boy just does some one sort of cut back, and Scales is completely took out, but thankfully it was offside. And then I think there was one a few minutes later where the same happened to Narochki. I thought both centre halves were pretty poor yesterday. I thought they were really slow. I know we've went on about Scales probably not being the answer long term. I think Narochki as well, I had been shouting for him the last few weeks, but I thought that yesterday was pretty poor. The defence sort of looked a lot more assured when Cameron Carter-Vickers did come on in the second half. But I thought we were just so, the lack of creativity in the first half was really alarming. Taylor had this sort of pop shot in the first couple of minutes, and then I think it was half an hour before we had any sort of attempt, never mind one on target. But I thought the way players were pretty poor, as you say. Nicholas Coon, like, he's completely flattering to deceive, like, for everything he'd done right yesterday. He would sort of go by a man but then overrun it, or he would, his final ball would be terrible, or he'd run into a defender. I thought he doesn't look up to much at this point. It's still very early in his Celtic career, but for the money you've spent, you were, I think a lot of people were sort of hoping that you'd get a more instant impact from him. Dyson Maeda, I thought in the first half he was probably the only one that looked to, like, he was acting with a bit of urgency, but as Addy said, that's probably just Dyson Maeda's nature, where he will just charge about and press everything, and so it's more noticeable that he is applying himself. I think he had a chance at the back post that Alistair Johnston put across from him. That was a slightly difficult header. I know we'll come on in the second half ones, but I think apart from that, that was all we'd created up to that point until Cal McGregor slipped Kyogo through, and thought Kyogo maybe could have done slightly better. It was pretty easy save for Liam Kelly, I thought. And I think that was pretty much the first half. Was the worrying thing was it wasn't a surprise, because it just seemed to be more of the same. Obviously, Kyogo takes that knock towards the end of the first half, and you never want to see your players get injured, but you know what? See for where we were in that game, the fact that Kyogo probably had to come off because of that injury helped us, because I just don't know if Rodgers would have made the sub at half-time if Kyogo hadn't took that injury. And bringing Ida on was just, as you say, like, giving you that presence, like, Kyogo, everybody loves him at Celtic, he's a great player, but he's not scored a league goal away from home since October, which is just unacceptable for a Celtic striker. And he does come on, that's the last two league away games at Easter Road and Fir Park, that he's got doubles. And you know what, he took a lot of stick before he'd even kicked the ball, because a lot of people just seen it as Celtic sort of scraping the barrel and getting a guy that couldn't get a game for Norwich. And fair fucks to him, he's just sort of stood up and he's just applying himself. And yeah, getting the goal so early in the second half was really important. I thought that it was a great ball from Greg Taylor, right up, and the header's fantastic. Like, it's, we don't score enough headers, and to have somebody with that sort of ability to head the ball was brilliant. And I think it sort of stifled Motherwell as well, because they were doing that at half time flying with confidence and probably expecting to take all 3 points. But I think that sort of took the stuffing out of them. They had a chance a couple of minutes later through Lennon Miller, who thought had a decent game for them. He had a header that Joe Hart took over, and I think it was pretty much at Hart, but he still has to make the save. But apart from that, I thought Motherwell were pretty non-existent in the second half, and we did just keep ramping up the pressure. I think Andy's right, Yang came on and made a really positive impact. He's been really up and down in his Celtic career, but he's a young guy, he's nowhere near the finished article that we're looking for. And you're going to have games where he's going to frustrate you, but you know what, see, in every game he plays, he's always attempting something, and he's always involved looking to create, and that's what we're needing. A lot of the time it looks like players in our team are hiding at the moment, and he definitely couldn't say that about Yang yesterday. He had no sort of lack of chances he was trying to create, and we just kept going. And I know it took till injury time again, and the 3 games against Motherwell this year, they've all sort of had late goals to for us in terms of getting winners at Fir Park, and obviously them equalising late on at Celtic Park. But we just kept pushing. I don't know, like, I was slightly worried that it wasn't going to come as you would be in any injury time, but that man Yang slips in Alistair Johnston brilliantly, and Johnston just does what he needs to do and puts it across the face of goal. And it's a great finish by Adam Eder, another sort of first time finish, and it was a massive goal. I don't think it can really be understated. Some people will think it's just papering over the cracks, but we're 11 games to go. I think you need to get wins wherever you can, and like, there might be in 2 months time we might be looking back at this as a sort of either the start of something where we go on a run and put ourselves back at top of the table, or it might have just been the sort of last act of defiance. But I don't know how it's going to go. So, but I'm delighted for the team. I think it was much needed, and really delighted for Adam Eder and Yang. I thought they were really good and probably should go straight in and start lining up for our game on Wednesday. Tony, I'll come to you. I know, as I said, you were in the air for the first half, but I'm sure you'll have caught up with most of it and seen highlights, etc. What's your thoughts on it? As I said, it was a very much needed win, and it came in dramatic smash.
I was in Switzerland think a lot of people thought I was actually pricing up Dignitas in case this season ends the way I think it will. But it was actually a nice, wee deserved break. I think I text just about everybody I know saying, I'm going to land you in the first half, and I just know it's going to be 0-0 or 1-0 to Motherwell. And it was 0-0, and then by the time I'd got my suitcase, it was 1-0 to Motherwell, and I thought, oh, fuck, this is it. This is the procession for the Huns on their way to the title. And then I listened to the cars. I drove from Belfast to Derry. I listened on the radio to BBC Sports Sound. I obviously can't really comment much in the second half, but when I landed, I think we'd only had one shot in the XG, so 0.01. And I just kind of laughed at myself. And I must admit, as much as going by what I've heard, the second half is much improved. After the Huns win 5-0 and you go 5 behind, I was really hoping we were going to come flying out the traps in the first half. And I didn't think we would, but you're hoping we batter them. But it obviously didn't happen. Don't get me wrong, the way we've won the game, I feel as though we've been here before. We've done it at Firth Park early in the season, done it against Hibs, big wins against Rangers, and you go, oh, that'll be the catalyst. I don't want to say that because we've had so many false dawns this season. It's been incredible. It needs to be the catalyst. Something needs to happen now. We need to go and play Dundee and batter them. Rangers have a tougher game on paper, but they don't really look like slowing down at the minute, which is a bit of an issue, but we are only 2 points behind. I think massive credit needs to go to the away fans here. They really are the life and soul of the club, and I could obviously hear them through the radio at one each, and even towards the end, kind of trying to spur the team on in between Boone Rogers substitutions. But if anybody deserves to see us win the league, it's the away fans. Need you credit to either. He was the kind of signing everybody just battered right away and says it was going to be rubbish and people weren't happy with it, but he scored two huge doubles in Mutant. We would probably be fucking, I don't know, 8 points behind, 6 points behind. So massive credit to him, delighted for him. A brilliant header, really good cross for Greg Taylor, another really good finish for the second, and then it's good play by Yang for the third when Palmer gets a tap in. It sounded to me as though Cameron Carter-Vickers came on. Any chances Motherwell had just disappeared. He just seemed to solidify us, and we need to keep him fit. It's crucially important because he just adds a balance to the whole team. And I seen a save Joe Hart made. I think it was from Lennon Miller, and it's an excellent save to keep it at one each as well. I wanted to touch on Joe Hart because I watched these videos during the week, as I'm sure everybody listening did, and he says there's been a lot of talk about the goalkeeping situation. So he's basically made a really selfless decision, decided to announce he's retiring just so we can stop debating about whether he'll be the keeper next year, because we know he won't be. So I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. But it got me thinking, is there anybody else at the club who could make a really, really good decision like that, could help the team? And then I thought, what about Peter Lawwell and his son? If they really give a fuck about Celtic, which they don't, obviously, why don't they declare right now that we are leaving the club with immediate effect for the good of Celtic? Because they're still hanging over. You've seen the accounts were released during the week, and we got a statement from Peter Lawwell about how he kind of shares their frustrations, which was a laughable statement. And basically, all the recruitment team wanted to do better, and these players were just, nobody in the world was available that could improve their starting 11. There was no offer we could have made that could have tempted anybody. I mean, just patronising fucking rubbish. And I'm thinking, that's in terms of unity, we still have a lot of people. I mean, if we'd had drawn yesterday, we were 2 minutes away for the sack the board chance, let's be honest, and the Lawwell get to Fox chance. That's always just kind of under the surface, you know. So if they really give a fuck, which obviously they do not, they would resign in the spot. Mark Lawwell and Peter Lawwell, we're leaving this club and we won't be coming back, and we want to let the club flourish and unify. But that's just not going to happen. But I just thought I'd make that point when you look at Joe Hart, who's made a really difficult decision for himself, but he kind of knows it's in the interest of Celtic, and I think he's been one of our better players for months now, to be fair to him. So I wanted to get my swing in at Lawwell there just during this, but it's pretty valid. And I seen there was an article come out that people in Celtic Park can't understand why people are annoyed at Peter Lawwell, and I just find it totally bemusing that these people can't work it out, that the guy people hated, the CEO, they hate him as chairman, and they don't like that his son's head of recruitment because his son's absolutely fucking useless. So just totally fucking madness in that regard. I was also, after I was reading a bit of the Huddle Board, which I don't normally do, but it seems everybody's in United and just absolutely despising the board. So again, that's another shower of cunts. They could be doing me going, no, we've taken enough millions out. We're actually going to give up our power and let Celtic and the fans and the players and the managers unite and move on. But it's obviously not going to happen. But hopefully we can get these people removed from the club by any means necessary come the end of the season. Whether we win the double, lose the treble, win the league, lose the cup, whatever happens. I still think it's important to talk about them, because if they'd actually spent money properly and recruited properly, we'd be about fucking 15 points clear by now and probably have won the league cup. So I think it's important, even though that was a great win yesterday and everybody's wanting to keep the faith and be united. The reason we're not fully united as a fan base is because of the board and because of people like Peter Lawwell and his son. So just bear that in mind. I'm not going to jump the gun after that one and say that's us. We're going to win the next 11 and kick on. I think I've been saying since we do with Aberdeen, I don't think the league will go our way. I'm not going to change my mind because we beat a team that Morton beat, and we beat them with 2 minutes to go. So just need hope. We go to Dundee and get a big result. Hopefully Kelly do us a favour. But as I say, Rangers have actually signed players in January, and they're actually scoring goals for them. How unbelievable is that? What a fucking concept. So I think it's going to take a lot for us to win the league, and then we've got Hearts away. As much as Rangers slapped my boot, I think it'll be more difficult for us at Tynecastle. So if we win our next two games and put in some good performances, then we'll have a chance. But delighted we get the win, really needed it. Happy for the away fans. Happy for Brendan as well. I know he's come under a bit of stick, and don't get me wrong, if he hadn't won yesterday, probably myself and most others would just have said just sack him in the spot. But I do want to see him do well, and I do still think he's a good manager, but I think he has been so chored by the board that he must wake up every day and go, I could be in fucking Saudi Arabia earning 50 million and I'm dealing with Peter Lawwell, probably goes, how am I back dealing with this fucking clown again? So Andy's son, I feel dreadful for him, but glad he get the win. I want to see him win the league. I just think he's been shouting about quality for so long, and at times it looks as though we'll get absolutely fucking none of it. So I'm happy for everybody in the stands and on the pitch. The players do look united. There's no two ways about it. I think it's a united squad. It's just a squad that's just no any real run of form. I remember saying back in kind of November, December, oh, we're clear at the top of the league and we've no done anything, but we're nearly in March and we've still no done anything and we're only 2 points behind. That's the kind of only positive. And obviously Rangers have got a tough European tie against Benfica as well, so I guess a reasonably tough tie with Easter Road in the Scottish Cup. I just feel something needs to drop for us. They need to drop points. We're needing something big to drop for us. That was big yesterday, but we could see it'd be nice to see them stumble a bit. But aye, that was a kind of covered all sorts of stuff. So just to reiterate, great result yesterday. Happy for Brendan. Fuck Peter and his son out the door, and fuck the board out the door. They should all resign to help the club, but they won't. There you go. So, back to you, Don.
Thanks. I've just had a text from the PLC letting me know that our January signing scored 4 goals as well, so they're giving Matt Lawwell an hour bonus and a contract extension. So, aye. Danny, I'll come to you. As I said, it's the second time this season we've scored an injury time to win at Firth Park. It's quite different circumstances from the last time when I think it put us 7 clear that day, and this one kept us within 2 points of the Angels. What's your thoughts on the game? As I said, I know you were in the house of the Lord yesterday, and were your prayers answered at halftime?
Evidently, aye, they were answered. I was at a christening yesterday, so I had to call on a big favourite. Oh, just got in, travelling towards the chapel during the first half, so never seen any. It was kind of trying to keep up on my phone. And aye, it was one nothing just as we sat down, and I thought, I need to call in a favour for the big man here. And then by the time the christening had finished, it was one each. I just get into the kind of party thing, just as it moved into the 6 minutes injury time, and I hadn't seen any of it, so I couldn't comment on how it was going, but just my gut instinct was that they weren't going to get the goal. So to score two, it was really heartening. I was actually quite, when the second goal went in, I thought, oh, you know, it's just kind of delaying the inevitable for a week. But the fact they went back up the park and scored again showed, I mean, getting the winner showed a lot of character, but going back up the park again and scoring showed a lot of character. And the team looks fairly united. The away support seem to still believe, so I've not gave up yet. But I thought, I said it last week against Kilmarnock, I thought Yang was a breath of fresh air when he came on the park. I can't comment on it much about the game, but what you have said, couldn't flatter to deceive again, and I really don't know what's up with him. The status seemed to absolutely love him when he signed. Everybody was really excited about him, and I don't know if he's he doesn't look unfit. He just looks like he's playing with, maybe he's lost a bit of confidence, maybe he's not settled in to Glasgow or whatever, but he doesn't look like the player that the status thought we were getting. So that's a wee bit of concern. But for me, Yang and Ida would be in my starting lineup pretty much until somebody else forces them out. I thought it was a great Ida's header, was really, really good. Was as good as Celtic goals I can remember in a long time. He's got up really well. He said to you last night in the group chat that the team, when they play the 3-0, is like having Kyogo is like for like. So when Rodgers would make that sub, they would keep fanning about with the ball, but when Ida comes on, they genuinely change up the way they play and they get the ball into the box. And I just wish they would give all that service sometimes as well. But Ida's jersey for me, they know. I mean, he's been a breath of fresh air since he came in. I mean, we would be without him. I know he got a lot of pressure. He got, you know, I'm not going to say I was delighted when we signed him, because I thought it was very desperate signing a player that could hardly get a game for Norwich. But he's definitely gave us something different that we never had. I mean, he scored four goals. He set up another. Some of his link-up play against Kilmarnock deserved better. And, you know, playing that ball into a striker who can hold it up and lay it off. And, you know, because we've got so many players like Palma, O'Reilly, Bernardo that like to get into the box. So it just helps us. And his finish for the winner was unbelievable. I mean, he's hit that with his left foot. It would have been easier to walk on it with his right. He's let it come across his body. Completely wrong foot at the keeper. It was great. But I think after what happened on Saturday, and they beating Hearts 5-0, just winning, you know, we just had to win and stay within 2 points and just keep winning. We really need to forget about them for a while and just concentrate on Celtic and putting away teams consistently. Like, if they win their next 5 games, we need to make sure we win our next 5 or however many before we play them again. But we just need to make sure we win them, but we're actually putting teams away rather than kind of getting by here and there. But I think that it was a big win. It was, you know, it's a last minute winner. The team have showed a lot of fight. By all accounts, the second half was a lot better than the first. But we do seem to only play for 45 minutes. It's been a kind of theme of the season. So Wednesday night is massive for us, because we can, you know, if we could come out, start early and blow Dundee away, if Kilmarnock and Rangers is tight, you know, that pressure could, you know, transfer across to them, and then with Celtic a free up at half time, we're not in each, and, you know, they could get on their team's back and whatever. But we just need to keep, we by our accounts, we played like we did yesterday for the second half, we'll be fine. But we said that after St Johnston, we said that the first half against Kilmarnock, we said that against like Kilmarnock last week as well, and Kilmarnock in December. But I'm just glad to get the win, because when you go into 90 minutes and one each, you don't, you know, the way that this season's went, I never really thought it was going to come. So to score twice was really heartening, and hopefully, as Tony says, it, you know, something's got to be the catalyst for us to kick on and start the rest of the season. You know, I think we've got about 12 games left. Obviously, we need to win them all, but something's got to be a catalyst, so why can't it not be yesterday's? But so hopefully, in a couple of months' time, we're looking back and saying, God, that goal feeder was, you know, really what kick-started the run to the title. So positive, but I wish they wouldn't leave it so late.
Definitely, and as you say, that sort of, there has been halves of football where we've played well, and I think it's just an important thing now to put that into a 90 minutes, or as close to 90 minutes as possible in terms of putting a team away. Andy, I'll take your thoughts on the Dundee game Wednesday night at Celtic Park. Both games have played Dundee this season. We've won 3-0, most recently at Dens Park on Boxing Day. But just on what I've said, on both of the games, we went in none each at half time before blistering second halves that saw us win both games 2-0. What are you expecting on Wednesday, and would you make any changes to the team, like Carter Vickers, Ida and Yang have been positively praised in this episode. Would you like to see them come in and start in 11?
I think, given how the second half went, I think there'll be changes for the starting 11, and I think that they would be welcome. I think Yang played his way in. I've obviously said how well I thought he'd done when he came on, so I think he's probably played his way in, just as much to be fair as Coons played his way out, because he was fucking rotten. But I think Ida as well, he's got to come in, he's got to start. Kyogo, I think is obviously then sort of bringing him out, but I would maybe look at bringing Kyogo in on the left and having a front three of Kyogo, Ida and Yang. I don't like Kyogo really in the 10, because I think we lose midfield. And two up front's fucking nonsense. We need to stop with that shit. It evidently doesn't work. It doesn't make you any better attacking. So I would maybe look at him on the left. I know he obviously tried out there under Ange, but and it didn't really work. But I wouldn't mind seeing it. No, and if it's not working, just change it at half time. But I wouldn't mind seeing Kyogo out left to see if there's scope, because Maeda has obviously been poor and he's missing chances. And on the aim, if you could get sort of Kyogo running into the positions that Yang was in, sort of coming half the left and in, you might obviously you would see a better return on goals, because you would fancy Kyogo to have taken at least one of the chances that Maeda had against Motherwell. And then again at centre half, you've got Carter Vickers. He's got to be in from the start. Again, you've seen the difference. Even sort of the back line just looked more assured, let alone what he was doing. And you fancied them not to go and concede any more stupid goals. And I would be partnering them when they're okay. I'm finally glad that people are starting to see this sort of talking up of Liam Scales for the nonsense that it was. Listen, cheers, what you done. But he's no good enough. He's no good enough in the ball. That Bear gave him the absolute runaround. And we play out for the back. It's, you can talk to and say as much as you want. Oh, it's about defending first and foremost. But see, when you're on 70, whatever it will be against Dundee, if you'll be looking at 70% of the ball or something like that, it's so important that our defenders are willing to step out and make a pass into the midfield and not just turn about and pay it back to the keeper or play a sideways pass. And you're more likely to get that when they're okay. And defensively, for what I've seen to both of them, I just don't think there's much between them anyway. So I would be putting Naroki and Carter Vickers. And then, as I said, probably Yang, Ida. And I would look at Kyogo in the left as well, because I don't think any other winger has done anything to really be deserving of a start or sort of put their name in the hat. And I think Maeda obviously gives you that running about, but he's been poor and they really should have had a goal, one minimum, against Motherwell. So I'd be looking at maybe trying Kyogo out there to see if there's any way that he can perform in the left and a Rodgers side just now to get us through the next couple of games. But I think there's got to be changes done, but if we can get that second half performance and that belief and sort of zipping the ball about where we were, and as I said, be effective in wide areas and get the ball into people in the box, then we will score goals. There is goals, there is creativity in that team. It's just about getting it for more than wee spells that we seem to do, where it's wee 10-minute spells in games and it's sort of 45 minutes here and there. But if we can just get that for the get-go, get a couple of goals and sort of get going, then aye, that's the changes I would make, and hopefully we can go into the game. And as I think it was Danny that said it there, at this point we just need to worry about ourselves and just keep winning. Like, it doesn't matter how we get out of the line, just continually keep picking up 3 points, because that's the most important thing. And it doesn't matter how anybody else does, it doesn't matter what their score is. It's all about us and the amount of points we come away for each game with, and as long as that's continually 3, then we'll be in a good place.
And take a quick score prediction on that.
I'll be hopeful and I'll say 3-0. I think that we should, fingers crossed, but I think we should put in a good performance and I'll go for a 3-0 win.
I would make it 3-0 wins against Dundee in a row. Tony, what's your thoughts on the game? What are you expecting again, and changes to the starting lineup? I know the last time we played them, I think we had 38 attempts on goal and 23 corners. I think people would be happy with that, at least on Wednesday, given it would be a much more dominant performance than we've shown in recent.
I think 2-3-0. I've got to go with 4-0, because Stevie for Gigpod, as he said to me, take it to the bank, and oh no, Stevie's a good boy, so I'm going to go with 4-0 just because he says it's going to be that. I think I agree with Andy. I think I would still play Kyogo at left. You don't want to just bin him, because he's still a very good player and has scored, I think, two his last 3 games. So I'd like to see Awata play again. Heard he was kind of quite good when he came on, or when he started against Motherwell and then came right on it second half. So happy for him to play. Vickers needs to play, because we're absolutely fucking pissed with him. Scales is too slow in the ball, so you need Vickers to kind of drag us out, and hopefully we can keep a clean sheet. And I think the goal difference is 6 in their favour than now. Don't get me wrong, they could easily go to Rugby Park and hammer Kilmarnock, but that's not going to be the case. It's a chance for us to hopefully rack up some goals and cut the goal difference gap. And as I think the boys have said, it is just about us winning, and if something falls our way, then that would be fucking tremendous as well. But I think we need to go out and put on a full 2-0 up at half time, 4-0 full time, full performance, get the stadium rocking, and just that's it. And then we'll have 10 games to go, and then kick on to Tynecastle. And look, if we win our games, we'll win the league. So we'll see how it goes. But whoever saves, Edo will score, O'Reilly will score 2, and Yang will get a goal.
I would certainly take that. And Danny, how come to you? What are you expecting on Wednesday?
I think the Deer actually not as bad as what I thought they were going to be at the start of the season. They've been pretty good this season, and they seem to score a lot of goals. There's a lot of goals involved in their game, so I don't think it'll be 4-0 or 3-0. I think it might be a kind of 3-1 or a 3-2 maybe. It might be a bit dramatic, but it would be good to see us kick on and take that positivity from that game, because we did it against Hibs when we got the late winner, and then we went to St Mirren on the Sunday and we played quite well. So let's hope that we can kick on for yesterday, and you know, take it at Park. The crowd will be up for it. You know, you're going to have 60,000. If you give, you know, if you start early and give the crowd a reason to, you know, tune in early on, then you can hopefully get a couple of goals and blow a team away. But I'll go for 3-2. I think it might be a bit nervy, but again, if yesterday was a catalyst and, you know, a turning point for us, then we really should be looking to win this 3-4-0, as Tony says, claim a couple of goals back. And I say, even if we were to win 6-0 on Wednesday night and Rangers were to get beat at Kilmarnock, it's still a long, long way to go. And if, you know, we win and they win 6-0, then there's still a long way to go as well. So it's not going to be, I don't think, unless we were to get beat or something and they were to win, I don't think it's a defining night in the season. But it would be good to get a wee favour for Kilmarnock, and they've beat them there before this season. But it's nice to see. But for us, it's just concentrating the Celtic at the minute, and hopefully we kick on for yesterday, score a couple of goals. It'd be good to see Ida and Yang starting and getting there. Kyogo on the left, aye, why not? You can always play about with the system if it doesn't work. But I don't know, I just feel with the way that Taylor plays, he's very inverted. We probably need a winger on the left, but if he was to play Kyogo out there and Kyogo was to get involved with Ida and link up, then you never know, it could work. But I'll go for 3-2, and I think Ida will get 2, and I'll go for Yang to get the third. Well, I think Ida will get the winner, but Yang will get the one in between. And hopefully, you know, God willing, we're at least top of the league, if not back joint top or whatever they might call it, and we can start looking forward to which, well, it already is a fucking nervy end to season. So, but aye, one game at a time.
Aye, definitely, and I think he's a all sort of picked up on. It's important that we do put on a full 90 performance, and like, you know, as Tony mentioned, well, 6 goals behind in goal difference, and like, there's every chance it might come down to goal difference, because obviously if they draw, we'd be level on points but behind the goal difference, unless we put in a sort of stellar performance and win 5 or 6-0. I think it's not even just for league title hopes, I think just in terms of getting more confidence about the team and about the support, it would be good to put away a team. And Luke Dundee's a team we've had relatively little difficulty with this time, and I know that might be jinxing it, but hopefully this is a sort of perfect opportunity for us to just, as Tony said, just go a game and go 2 or 3-0 up by half time, support our cam, and you can just sort of enjoy the second half, try and put on a style and get rack the goals up. But I've heard that about Kyogo possibly playing out left. I don't know, I don't think he's played there since maybe Ange's first trip to Ibrox, and I'm not against it. Look, if it was to happen, I'm not going to say, oh, what is happening here, but I sort of agree with Danny. I think Rodgers will prefer more natural wingers out there to sort of suit the balance of the team. So I think Ida will start, but I think it'll be Maeda and Yang alongside him. I think he'll maybe drop to the bench. Obviously don't know the extent of his injury, if it's going to keep him out for this one, or if he will just drop to the bench due to Ida's performance on Sunday. Aye, I'd bring the two in, and I think part of Vickers has got to play. I don't really mind who it's with, if it's with Scales or Narochkid, but as I said, both of them disappointed me yesterday. But I mean, Narochka did cost you a lot of money, so it might be a sort of novel concept to try and play your two biggest transfer fees for your centre-halves in terms of Vickers and Narochka, maybe try and get them a wee run of games where you can see if they're going to gel. And I think every sort of centre-half looks more assured with Cameron Carter-Vickers next to him, so it could be the mating of Mike Narochka as well. So if that was to happen, I'd be quite happy with that. But I think it'll be comfortable again. I think it'll be 4-1 Celtic. I think we'll put on a full 90 performance, and I think we will be 2-0 up at half-time through Adam Ida getting a double. And then we'll continue on in the second half, and I think I'll give goals to Yang, and I don't know who'll get a fourth. We'll go for Greg Taylor. He can get a fourth. But aye, that's us just hitting about the 45-minute mark. So if you've made it this far, thank you very much for listening. We will be back after the Dundee game. We'll be previewing the big trip to Tynecastle on Sunday. We'll talk about Wednesday night's results and see if it has sort of altered the league table, and I will speak to you then. So thanks very much for tuning in. Make sure to follow us, just search for Full Times in a Podcast wherever you are, and you should find us. Cheers.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.